So welcome, everyone, and I'd like to introduce to you Carol Nelson. I met Carol over 30 years ago in Williams Lake, where I was a vice principal of schools, and Carol was teaching a herbal course at the Caribou College. Her teachings changed my life. Now, you might think that tonsillitis isn't a big issue, but for a teacher who loved to teach, tonsillitis was a big issue because twice a year I would go to the doctor with this swollen tonsil, and the solution was always to take an antibiotic. And guess what? It worked. I would take an antibiotic and the swelling would go down. However, one day the swelling would not go down with the antibiotic, and I was in trouble. And this is where Carol Nelson came into my life. And she taught me how to do a herbal program so that I could be empowered to take on the responsibility of healing my own tonsils in my own home. I never, ever knew at that time, that was over 30 years ago, that I could, in fact, heal up my tonsils and clean up an infection without using an antibiotic. That simply was not ever talked about, and I'd never heard of such a thing before. And guess what? It worked, and Carol's teachings changed my life. I am proud to tell you today that I have not taken a drug for over 30 years. Thank you, Carol, for empowering me over 30 years ago. Carol is a great teacher. She's very knowledgeable. And you are in for a great treat this evening. With that, I'm going to turn the time over to Carol. Are you there, Carol?
I am indeed here, Donna.
All right. Yes. Thanks, Carol. And go ahead, please.
Okay. I thank you very much for those kind words. And indeed, the things that we do know about, they do change lives. And in fact, they save
Sandra
lives.
Sandra Barnes.
And if you can wrap your mind around what I have to say this evening, it will save many, many lives, maybe, perhaps, your own, okay? Now, you might wonder what is so life-saving about the cholesterol information I'm going to give to you. But as I speak, I think you will see how this interrelates with so many areas
of
our health.
How can I make this go real loud?
And, in fact, with all of the areas of our health. So, anyway, here goes.
Excuse me, Carol. I'm just going to take a second, if I may. Would you please mute by pressing *6 so we can mute out the background noise? I really appreciate that. Thank you, everyone. *6, please, if you haven't done so. I can hear background noise. Please press *6. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry, Carol, I just wanted to do that so that all the listeners can hear you well enough.
Okay. For everybody listening, would you please have a paper and pen handy, because I'm going to ask you to do something in just a little while. Now, in talking about cholesterol, I might mention that I'm not making this up and that I have compiled this information over a period of years from many, many medical doctors who have rejected the medical model for dealing with cholesterol, for dealing with heart problems, and, in fact, for dealing with many, many different problems. So I hope this information helps you. And I'm going to start just by mentioning the way I was raised. When I was just a little girl, I lived on a small farm in northern Alberta. We got our milk from the cows. We drank the whole milk. My mom would separate the milk and cream sometimes so we could get some nice thick cream. And the cream that we had was so thick that if you put it in a cup, you could put a spoon in it, and the spoon would stand up straight. And my dad would make butter from the cream with a little hand-turned egg beater that we had, and that's how we got our butter. Once in a while, we would buy bacon, and my mom always saved the bacon grease so that we could use that for frying foods. We had our own chickens, and we got great big eggs with bright-colored yolks. My mom sold the eggs to earn a little bit of extra money, but she never got a very good price for her eggs because they were so big and the yolks were so bright colored. which means, of course, they were full of antioxidants. So anyway, you can see by what I've just said that our diet was very full of cholesterol, and yet nobody seemed to be getting heart disease. It was a very, very rare thing. I can remember my mom and dad talking, and if they heard of anybody with heart disease, it was something very unusual. And diabetes, they'd say, oh, he has sugar diabetes, and they would speak as if that was as rare as somebody in Canada getting malaria, like it was just not happening. So anyway, we're going to look at this cholesterol issue. Now, what is cholesterol, first of all? Well, simply stated, it's a fatty, steroid-like substance that is made mainly in our liver. About 80% of it's made in our liver, and the rest we get from consuming animal products. A little bit of cholesterol is also made in our small intestine and in the cells as they need it.
Mm-hmm.
Cholesterol is so necessary for life that breast milk for babies, it contains 54% cholesterol. And we think if we're using 2% milk, that's pretty rich. Well, breast milk is 54% cholesterol. So it is that necessary for life. And then you might ask, well, why is it so necessary? Well, cholesterol is crucial for the synthesis of all of our endocrine hormones. All our hormones are made of, based on cholesterol. And this includes hormones made from the adrenal glands, which contain the highest concentration of cholesterol anywhere in the body. The pituitary gland, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, all of these need cholesterol. It's used to make vitamin D from the sunshine on our skin. It's used to help us assimilate fat-soluble vitamins like A, E, D, and K, so we don't get a deficiency of those. And cholesterol is essential for our cell membranes, for the cell walls. And the cell walls, of course, they regulate what can get into and out of the cells. So the nutrients have to be able to get into our cells, and the toxins have to be able to get out of our cells. And if the cell walls are made of water, of course, they would dissolve and our whole body would fall apart. So they're made of the cholesterol fats. Cholesterol is also very important to make the myelin sheath that insulates and protects the nerves. And you may have heard about this in connection with people that have multiple sclerosis, because their myelin sheath is defective and they lose control of all of their different body functions eventually. So 75% of the insulation on the nerves is made of cholesterol. It also makes up much of the brain. It's used to make neurotransmitters. It's used to make bile, which help us with fat digestion. It's an artery lubricant also, so the blood can flow with less friction. So you can see that cholesterol is pretty much imperative for our lives. Now, there's two kinds of cholesterol that are very often talked about, the good cholesterol or the bad cholesterol. And really, there's no such thing as good or bad cholesterol. That cholesterol is good. The LDL, or the low-density lipoprotein, is very often called the bad cholesterol. That's the LDL. But it's anything but that. It makes up about two-thirds of the cholesterol in our bodies. And it's this cholesterol that does all those functions that I just talked about. The LDL, that density, refers to the amount of protein carrying the fat. That's when it's talking about density. It's talking about the density of the protein, not the density of the fat. Okay? And then there's the high-density lipoprotein. This one is commonly called the good cholesterol, and its main function is to pick up the excess LDL from the circulatory system after it's been used and to carry it back to the liver, where it's made into bile salts and excreted from the body via the bowel. So the cholesterol then is made mainly in the liver. The LDL circulates through the body, performing its life-giving functions. And then the HDL picks up the excess and returns it to the liver. The liver converts it into bile, and it's sent to the bowel. If there's sufficient soluble fiber in the bowel, then the excess LDL is absorbed by the fiber, and it exits the body. But without sufficient soluble fiber, and with poor bowel elimination and constipation, the excess cholesterol will not exit the body, but will be reabsorbed from the bowel into the blood and recirculate through the body, and this allows it more time to oxidize if there's not enough antioxidants in the body. Okay, so that's the basic journey that the cholesterol goes on as it goes about its mission in our bodies. Now, this whole thing about the cholesterol being cause of heart disease, let's have a look at that and see how it ever got started, because you could see that cholesterol is so crucial for our very lives. It basically started back in 1913 in St. Petersburg, Russia, when a Russian doctor fed rabbits a dense brew made of this kind of cholesterol. And he noted that it led to some cholesterol buildup in the rabbit's arteries. And so from that, people started to worry about, well, cholesterol then causes heart disease. And of course, nobody questioned the notion that rabbits are vegetarians. Rabbits do not go around eating cholesterol, and they don't have the enzymes to break down cholesterol. So of course, cholesterol would have to go somewhere, and it would be found in their arteries. But that was kind of the start of this whole thing. And then this whole myth received further impetus from the 7 countries study. Now, this was done in 1953 by a doctor named Ansel Keys. And he published a research paper that serves as the basis for nearly all of the initial scientific support for the cholesterol theory. So this 7 countries study, it linked the consumption of dietary fat to coronary artery disease, because he noted that in these 7 countries where they consumed a lot of dietary fat and cholesterol, that they had more cholesterol buildup in their arteries. Now, the interesting thing about this is that there really weren't just 7 countries studied. There were 22 countries studied. 7 showed some cholesterol buildup in the arteries. 15 showed no correlation whatsoever. And when the results are averaged, you find there is no correlation between cholesterol in the diet and cholesterol in the arteries. So this is called statistical manipulation, where Dr. Keyes excluded the test that did not fit in with his original hypotheses. So if it's not cholesterol that's causing the problems, let's have a look here at some of the other things that could have a bearing on this. So I thought we might have a look at different kinds of fats. Now, the one that has been so vilified, of course, is saturated fat. And here's where I would like you to use your pen and paper. And would you just draw a little circle about a half an inch in diameter and label that one C1. And then about a half an inch to the right of that little circle, make another little circle and label that C2. And then to the right of that one, make another little circle, label that C3. And to the right of that, make another little circle and label that C4. Okay? Now, fats consist primarily of a chain of carbon atoms. So C1, C2, C3, C4, we're just using this to represent the different carbon atoms. And would you draw a line just linking C1 and C2, C2 and C3, and then another line linking C3 and C4. And these lines are called bonds that are holding the atoms together. And then on the top of C1, make a little line and write H on top of that, H representing a hydrogen atom. And on the bottom of C1, make another little line and put another H down there representing another hydrogen atom. So these two atoms are binding to C1. And then do the same thing for C2, another H on top, another H on the bottom, little lines binding them. Same thing for C3, and the same thing for C4. Okay, so what you have drawn here is an illustration of a saturated fat molecule. Okay? So you have there a chain of carbon atoms. Each carbon atom can hold a maximum of 2 hydrogen atoms. A fat molecule that has 2 hydrogen atoms attached to each carbon atom is said to be saturated because it's holding all the hydrogen atoms that it can. I used to wonder when I heard so much about saturated fats, I wondered, what are they saturated with? And now I can see what they are saturated with. They're saturated with hydrogen atoms. Now, when they are saturated in this manner, this makes the fat very stable and impervious to oxidation and to free radical damage. The saturation with the hydrogen atoms also makes the fat solid at room temperature. It doesn't become oxidized or rancid easily, and it's excellent for cooking because it can tolerate heat because it is such a stable molecule. And this type of fat, of course, is found in animal products like meat, butter, lard, which are also sources of cholesterol, and also in coconut oil, which is a saturated fat from the plant kingdom. And it is the least fattening, I might mention, of all of those. So that is a saturated fat molecule, an example of one. Okay, now next, would you draw another little row of 4 circles? C1, C2, C3, and C4. And on the top of C1, put one atom of hydrogen, one atom of hydrogen on the bottom of it. But on C2, only put a hydrogen atom on the bottom. And on C3, only a hydrogen atom on the bottom. And on C4, hydrogen atom on the bottom. And on the top as well. Okay. So, monosaturated fat. That is an example.
Can you speak up a bit, Carol? It's hard to hear you.
Okay. So that's an example of a monosaturated fat that we have drawn there. Okay. And you will see that the structure is different from that of the saturated fat because it's not full of hydrogen atoms like the saturated fat is. So the monosaturated fat is slightly more vulnerable to free radical attack. It tends to be liquid at room temperature, whereas the saturated fat, like butter, that is saturated with hydrogen, it tends to be liquid at room temperature, but it solidifies in the fridge. Okay, so you can see it's kind of half and half. And it's fairly stable. Sources are olive oil, almond oil, avocados, pecans, cashews, other nuts. These oils are associated with very low rates of inflammation and cancer and heart disease and longer lifespan. This kind of fat is used a lot in what we call the Mediterranean diet. Okay, and they can tolerate some heat, but not too much heat. So that's a monosaturated fat. And last of all, okay, here's your last art project. Draw 6 circles beside each other. Oh, sorry, on the monosaturated fat, I might mention, you link C1 with a bond, C2 and C3 with a bond, C3 and C4 with a bond. Between C2 and C3, you have to add another bond because nature wants to hold the molecule together. And so it uses a double bond instead of the hydrogen atoms. So the bonds there are very important. Okay, for the polyunsaturated fats, we have C1, C2, C3, C4, C5, and C6. With C1, a hydrogen atom on the top and bottom. C2, hydrogen atom only on the bottom. C3, hydrogen atom only on the bottom. C4, mm-hmm. hydrogen atom on the top and bottom. C5, hydrogen atom on the bottom. C6, hydrogen atom on the bottom. And then join them all up with the bonds, like we did before. Only between C2 and C3, make double bonds. between C5 and C6 double bonds. Now you can see how you have a much, much more weak structure with this type of molecule, with the polyunsaturated fats. It has many hydrogen atoms missing from the carbon atoms. It's liquid at room temperature. It's very unstable because it lacks the protective hydrogen atoms, and it cannot tolerate heating or storing without becoming rancid, without oxidizing, and releasing free radical molecules that attack artery linings and cell membranes. These kind of fats come from soy, from corn, from safflower, from cottonseed, from canola, and you know how canola is used for deep frying just about everywhere now. When the cholesterol myth started, everybody switched from animal fats to canola, to the least stable oil of all. And so it causes massive free radical damage. It's already heated to start with you when you buy it in the bottle. It's already unstable, and it's already oxidized. And then they heat it many times over and over, making French fries. And that is the oil that is touted to be so safe and healthy. Corn and soy are fed to pigs to make them fatter while consuming less food. So they just give them these oils. You don't need to feed them as much. And in the late 1940s, chemicals were used to suppress thyroid function of pigs to make them fatter so they could consume less food and still fatten up because their thyroid glands were underactive from these type of fats. It was found that corn, soy have the same anti-thyroid effect, causing the animals to be fattened at less cost. And lard from such pigs will contain much unsaturated fat. These polyunsaturated fats inhibit protein digestive enzymes. They cause clots. They suppress thyroid hormone production, like the pigs gain more weight, and so do we. They also suppress the immune system, and they're used for patients who have had organ transplants. Because you know when a patient has an organ transplant, they can't have an active immune system or it will reject the transplanted organ. So they give them these type of fats, these polyunsaturated fats, because it suppresses their immune system, it keeps their immunity low, and then their bodies don't reject the new organ. These type of fats are in baked goods, processed foods, salad dressings. They're associated with chronic disease, and they dramatically increase the body's need for cholesterol because they're shutting down hormone production, and the body is struggling to keep hormone production up, so cholesterol rates will go up. So those are the three basic kinds of fats there. Okay, so you have the monounsaturated, which is saturated with hydrogen. The saturated one, which is saturated with hydrogen, the monounsaturated, which has not complete saturation, and the polyunsaturated, which is totally unstable. Now, all of these fats contain the omega-6 and the omega-3, and I want you to recognize these because omega-3 is in the polyunsaturated fats in very, very high amounts. And it stimulates the immune response in the case of injury or for inflammation. If a cell is damaged or injured, the body responds by creating inflammation, which increases the circulation and brings antibodies there to bring about healing. And so with the omega-6, it feeds this whole inflammatory cycle. People cooking with or using these type of oils are getting a whopping amount of omega-6. And one tablespoon, for example, of corn oil contains 7,280 milligrams of omega-6 fats. They're highly, highly, highly inflammatory. Read the labels on the things you're using, and you will be surprised how much these polyunsaturated fats are in the foods that you are eating. And they're all high in the inflammatory omega-6s. Replacing animal fat with corn oil, that's a polyunsaturated one, of course, for 2 years, lowered cholesterol somewhat, and it quadrupled the rates of heart attacks and deaths. Replacing animal fat with vegetable fat for 5 years, lowered cholesterol by 5%, and increased cardiac total death rate by 50%. So this is crucial information to know about these kind of fats. Now, the omega-3, that's the fat that puts the brakes on inflammation. It's essential fatty acids for our nervous system, our mental development, and prevention of heart disease and all other chronic disorders. rich sources of the omega-3 are wild Pacific salmon, sardines, flax and other seeds, walnuts, pecans, avocados, eggs from hens fed on grass, beef fed on grass, milk from cows fed on grass, and cheese from the grass-fed animals. And they meet the needs of the body for cholesterol, so that markedly less cholesterol is needed for body functions. And then the cholesterol levels tend to normalize. I might say a word about trans fats, too, because they are the worst, probably the worst of all, but they aren't even really a food. These are man-made fats. They're so destructive for health because the body doesn't know what to do with them. It can't process them, and they contribute to heart disease and all chronic degenerative disease. They're a foreign substance in our bodies, so the body sets up an inflammatory response to get rid of them. And they are made from unstable, polyunsaturated vegetable oils, like the ones we mentioned, the soy, the canola, the sunflower, the safflower, and soy, and so on. And what they do is under heat and pressure, they want to make them solid at room temperature. And remember now, it's the saturated fats that are solid, like the butter and so on. People want to have something to spread on their bread or whatever, or something to bake with. So they want to make them solid at room temperature. So they take a fat that is already oxidized and heated, and they heat it under either even higher heat and a lot of pressure, and using a catalyst like nickel, they force the molecule to accept some hydrogen molecules. And so they are in reality creating a new molecule. And this makes the oil solid at room temperature. And the resultant mass is so gray and smelly, nobody would ever eat it. And so to overcome this, they bleach it using more chemicals. They deodorize it again by using heat and more chemicals. And then they artificially flavor it. And then they color it. And this is margarine. Rats and cockroaches won't eat it. Our bodies can't digest it. And it ends up in our arteries. When the medical field came up with this idea that cholesterol was bad and caused heart disease, margarine hit the market with a vengeance. Most people switched, and the rates of heart disease went through the ceiling. We mustn't forget Crisco either, that Procter & Gamble used to make candles from cottonseed oil. This was in the early 1900s. But as the use of electricity became more prevalent, they had to figure out something else to do to earn money because people didn't need so many candles. So they had this fat there that was hydrogenated, so they got the idea of eating it. So that's how Crisco and these different shortenings came into being. Crisco means crystallized cottonseed oil, and cotton, of course, is not a food at all. So those are the different kind of fat there. We have saturated, monosaturated, polyunsaturated, and trans fats. Now, if we're talking about heart disease, usually we're talking about arterial plaque. And we are given to understand that arterial plaque is made of cholesterol. Well, that is not what is happening at all. When there is damage anywhere in the body produces fibrin. Like if you cut your finger, for example, you're going to have bleeding going on there, and you have fibrin being produced, which is a mesh-like webbed foundation that develops on an injured area. And it provides the framework on which new tissue can grow until the injury is healed, so you don't just keep on bleeding and bleeding. So it's kind of like a patch. Okay, after the healing is complete, you have some scar tissue that is left healing, left after the healing, and the scar tissue is not so resilient and won't flex like normal tissue, and that's what can happen in the arteries as well. Now, also then, as part of arterial plaque, we have fibrin, and then on that we have unsaturated fat. 75% of arterial plaque is made up of vegetable oils that are processed with heat and become rancid or are hydrogenated to make them solid at room temperature. In other words, trans fats make up most of the plaque. The greater the concentration of polyunsaturated fat in the plaque, the more likely it is to rupture and form blood clots that are the primary cause of heart attacks. And that's because the cholesterol that holds the cells together, like we talked about, in the artery, is being displaced by the fake fats. And the body sets up an inflammatory response to get rid of these foreign substances. And in the course of all of this, the artery wall gets damaged. And, of course, the person consumes more and more of these fake fats thinking they're healthy, so it spurs on the inflammation even more with all of these omega-6 fats. And this goes on and on until the artery is eventually damaged and needs to be repaired, or it ruptures, causing a stroke. So also in the arterial plaque, we have some calcium deposits. And for people using a lot of calcium supplements made of rocks or shells, I don't recommend that. Kidney stones are made of calcium, so if anybody has kidney stones, they probably have the calcium deposits in their arteries as well. Also, as part of cellular plaque, we have, part of artery plaque, we have cellular waste. And that's waste carried in the blood, like heavy metals from the food, air, water, vaccines, like Donna mentioned, pesticides, herbicides, cosmetic, personal care products, pharmaceuticals. All of these things cling to the plaque. They cause inflammation. They damage the artery. And last of all, the oxidized cholesterol is put on there because there's so much oxidative damage going on in the body. So that's what arterial plaque is made of. It's made of fibrin, polyunsaturated fats, calcium deposits, and cellular waste. And then last of all, some oxidized cholesterol. Now the next question then is, what causes high cholesterol? Okay, that can be caused by a number of factors here. If you just think back to what we talked about at the start, about the uses for cholesterol and why it was necessary in the body. When any of those needs are not being met, the body will increase its production of cholesterol. So that will help to satisfy the need of the body because something's missing. So it might be vitamin D that's missing. It might be low hormone levels, not enough cholesterol to make the hormones properly. It might be that the nerve sheath is being depleted for various reasons. A person might need more neurotransmitters. All of this can cause cholesterol levels to rise, meet the need of the body. And here's one that is not understood a lot, mm-hmm. and that is an underactive thyroid. It can also cause high cholesterol because it interferes with the ability of the liver to eliminate excess cholesterol. Back many years ago, before the medical community had come up with the thyroid-stimulating hormone test for thyroid, the test they did for thyroid was cholesterol. And if you had cholesterol, they assumed that you had a thyroid problem. And if they treat the thyroid, then the cholesterol level would come down. Now, that's a whole separate topic, but I want to mention that here because so often people can't get their cholesterol levels down, and it might be because they have a thyroid problem. A person can also have high cholesterol if they are constipated and don't have insufficient soluble fiber to mop up or absorb the excess cholesterol. They can have a malfunctioning liver, which actually makes too much cholesterol, but that doesn't happen very often. Okay, and the consumption of hydrogenated and trans fats and heated plant oils, that's the major one. And these fats dramatically increase the body's need for cholesterol. So that's the main villain to look for. I might mention too that the liver, if it's malfunctioning, might not make enough lecithin. And lecithin is a solvent for fats. And so it keeps the fats soluble and in solution. So you can see how important the liver is to all of this. High homocysteine levels can also damage the artery walls. And that is, so homocysteine can be very reactive. And it's caused by deficiency of B6, B12, and folic acid. MC can correct that as well as B-complex stress formula. Homogenized cow's milk has traces of xanthine oxidase in it. Dr. Oscar, MD, had written a whole little book on this, on homogenized. Notice all of these things that are detrimental to us are something that man has tampered with in some way. If in doubt, use something just the way nature made it, and you'll probably be just fine. Now, I'm going to mention a little bit about triglycerides. When people find out they have high triglycerides, they immediately think they should stop eating fats because this causes fatty liver, for example. High triglycerides do not result from eating excess fats, but from eating excess carbohydrates like sugar, fructose, pop, bread, pasta, grains, alcohol, etc. The liver converts these extra carbs into a triglyceride kind of fat. Tri meaning three fatty acids, attached to a sugar or glycerin molecule. The body packages the triglycerides with the cholesterol and the protein, that is the lipoproteins, HDL, LDL, so they can be carried through the body because water and fats don't mix. And they thicken the blood and block the arteries. Even children these days are being found to have fatty livers, and it's because they're eating too much sugars, great big huge slurpees, whatever. You've seen them all. Triglycerides are usually stored on the belly, making belly fat, and are one of the biggest indicators of cardiovascular disease, which is the leading cause of death amongst diabetics. So we've gone on and on here about all the problems. So what's the solution to all this stuff? All right, what's the medical solution, first of all? Well, the medical solution up to now anyway has been stop eating saturated cholesterol-containing fats and eat the polyunsaturated fats, the ones we've mentioned, like corn and soy and so on and so forth. And they also say do use statin drugs to lower cholesterol. Now, statin drugs originally came from a fungus called red yeast rice that produces a chemical known as lovastatin. And when the predators ate the red yeast rice, they would consume this chemical, get sick or die from it because it shut down their cholesterol production and also their coenzyme Q10 production, which is necessary to make energy at the cellular level, anywhere in the body. So it is crucial for muscle function. So that's where the statin drugs came from. And statin drugs are now the biggest sellers in the whole world of all the drugs. Now, I wonder if anybody thought, though, that with heart disease, the problem is you have all this plaque in the arteries. Well, statins do nothing to remove plaque from the arteries, which is the main cause of heart disease. They just slow the cholesterol production. Elderly people with low cholesterol are twice as likely to die as those with high cholesterol. Low coenzyme Q10, which is also shut down by the statin drugs, by the cholesterol-lowering drugs. It causes muscle wasting and pain. Waste products from the breakdown of muscle tissue overload the kidneys and can lead to kidney failure. That's why this one statin drug called Bakall was removed from the market because people were having kidney failure because of their kidneys breaking down. But all statins work the same. Statins are the leading cause of congestive heart failure because your heart is a muscle. Statins cause neuropathy, nerve damage to any and all parts of the body, including the muscles needed to swallow, muscles for the heart to beat, chest muscles for the lungs to breathe, numbness, pain, tingling, burning, especially at night. These are all neuropathy symptoms that can be caused by the statins drugs, depleting the body of CoQ10. They can cause problems with the brain, disorientation, forgetfulness, migraines, memory loss, depression. It goes on and on. It can cause sexual impotence in men because damaging the muscles, liver damage, nausea, diarrhea. They do cause diabetes. Statins cause diabetes. And they increase cancer rates because it damages the cell walls. All of this is done to reduce cholesterol, which doesn't matter in the first place. Now, this is the real clincher here. Just recently, in the last few months, the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee in the USA stated, and I quote, cholesterol is not considered a nutrient of concern for overconsumption. In other words, cholesterol doesn't really matter. You don't need to worry about it. This after 55 years of being scammed and messed up by these different drugs and the wrong kind of diet. And it's still going on. It's still going on. So, what should we do to keep our arteries healthy? Well, first thing is to throw out the polyunsaturated vegetable oils like canola, sunflower, soy, all these. They're oxidized before you even bring them home from the store. And the trans fats like margarine and shortening that aren't even foods. Use the saturated fats and the monounsaturated fats. And refer to that chart that you've made there because it explains the chemistry. Saturated meaning the carbon atoms are saturated with hydrogen atoms. The polyunsaturated are also very good. They just don't take too much heat. Eliminate the sugar, the high fructose corn syrup. And remember that baked goods, breads, pasta, grains, all of these turn to sugar. And the sugar turns to triglycerides, they go on your belly, they go in your arteries. Eat organic as much as possible. and use a superfood to fill in the cracks, because no matter how good you eat these days, you still are missing something. So I use things like Green Zone, Mineral Chi Tonic, Alfalfa, Spirulina, Rose Hips, Zambrosa for super antioxidants. Any of these things are very, very good. And to clean and repair the arteries, MC has to be the king of supplements that I have ever seen for doing that, because you don't want just to clean the arteries. I had a friend once that was taking chelation therapy, and I'm not against that either, but I says, well, you know, you haven't tried our MC. He says, oh, I'm taking these chelation treatments to get the plaque off my arteries. He was, I think, up to about 22 of them when I last talked to him. And then I heard that he died. And I thought, well, why would that be? And it's when I understood more about this process, I understood why he would. He cleaned the plaque off the arteries. That's just like taking the Band-Aid off the sore. But he didn't heal the arteries, because the arteries are damaged from all of this inflammation, from these bad fats and bad sugars. I have a lady that went to my class in Campbell River here whose husband had a stroke. They did an autopsy, and to use the doctor's own words, he said his arteries were shredded. So you want to clean the plaque off, but you want to heal the arteries as well. Okay, I had a person, a lady that was scheduled for valve replacement surgery, and every few months she'd go to the doctor for another checkup. She was using the MC and Hawthorne, and the doctors would look puzzled, and they said, you seem to be getting better. And at the end, they canceled her surgery. They said she didn't need it anymore. Okay? We need to have nutrition to repair the damage that is being done here. Lecithin emulsifies bad fats that are clinging to the arteries. I know of a man who had dramatic results using lecithin, about 4 per meal, and to dissolve the fats off the arteries. High potency garlic helps dissolve the hard plaque or fibrin off the arteries. Really terrific, like the vitamin C 500 milligrams to protect the arteries from oxidative damage from the wrong things, our environment. And to keep the fats from being recycled, remember after they make their journey through the bloodstream and do their job, they end up back at the liver and in the gallbladder and exit the bowel. We need the soluble fiber like Loclo, psyllium hulls, LBS2 to absorb these things so that we can eliminate them and not have them go through the whole body again. I want to just conclude with excellent little article I thought was written by a very honest surgeon whose name was Dwight Lundell. He says, as a heart surgeon with 25 years experience, having done more than 5,000 open heart surgeries, today is my day to right the wrong with medical and scientific proof. Bombarded with scientific literature, continually attending educational seminars, we insisted that heart disease resulted from the simple fact of elevated blood cholesterol. The only accepted therapy was prescribing medications to lower the cholesterol and a diet that severely restricted fat intake. Deviations from these recommendations were considered heresy and could quite possibly result in malpractice. You see how little freedom doctors have. Even if they do know there's a better way to do it, they have to follow an established medical protocol, whether it works or not. A few years ago, we discovered that inflammation in the artery wall is the real cause of heart disease. Without inflammation being present in the body, there is no way that cholesterol would accumulate in the wall of the blood vessel and cause heart disease and strokes. Inflammation is not complicated. It's quite simply your body's natural defense to a foreign invader such as bacteria, toxin, or injury. However, if we chronically expose the body to injury from these things that the body was never designed to process, and we're talking about the bad fats and the bad sugars here, a condition occurs called chronic inflammation. And he uses an analogy here. Take a moment to visualize rubbing a stiff brush repeatedly over your skin until it becomes quite red and nearly bleeding. You do this several times a day, every day for 5 years. If you could tolerate this painful brushing, you would have a bleeding, swollen, infected area that became worse with each repeated injury. This is a good way to visualize the inflammatory process that could be going on in your arteries right now. I've peered inside thousands and thousands of arteries. A diseased artery looks as if someone took a brush and scrubbed repeatedly against its wall. And we do this several times a day with the polyunsaturated fats, the trans fats, the sugars, all these flour-baked products that are so toxic. and that's what causes heart disease. And in fact, that's what causes all disease. And so I've done a lot of talking here, but if I just wound it up in two or three sentences, this is what I would say, is that bad sugars, I've described what they are, and bad fats, I've described what they are, they cause inflammation in the artery, which damages it. And then you have plaque sticking on the artery to bandage it. And then I'm going to just give you a really beautiful, simple little secret. The cause of heart disease, those things I just mentioned, is the cause of most other diseases. If you can stop the inflammation doing damage to your heart, you can stop it from doing damage to other parts of your body, because it's all the same. It can be, the inflammation can be damaged in the arteries, in any part of the body, you name it, it's all the same. And that's the secret, and that's why this is so very, very simple. Okay? Just do the right thing, and you'll be all right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carol. And so now if you want to press *6, you can then unmute, and we have a few minutes. You can ask Carol a question. So go ahead. The time is now yours. Is there anybody out there that has a burning question that they'd like Carol to address? Be happy to do that.
I think I blew everybody out of the water with all that, Donna.
Yeah, somebody is on. Go ahead, please.
Yes, this is Jacqueline here.
Go ahead, Jacqueline.
Yes, okay. Carol, what would you recommend for someone who has had, you know, years of taking statins, for all the wrong reasons, of course, and what would be the protocol that you would recommend they follow to get rid of the effect of the statins, to get it out of the liver and everything else first, and then to build up their health?
Okay, well, I would have them, first of all, follow the program that I outlined in my discussion here. That's got to be the foundation of it. People so often want to rush to the cure, okay? So follow that kind of program that I talked about, with using the good fats and not the bad fats, and using the good sugars, like just from fruits and vegetables, and not all those other ones that cause all these different omega-6 inflammation reactions and so on. And then I would use herbs to build up the liver, like the LIVA formula, and lots of coenzyme Q10 to try and replenish the body's cellular stores. And, of course, a really very good superfood. That would be very important, because their bodies are very depleted from doing all these things that they've been doing wrong for so many years.
Yes, right. Thank you. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
Thanks. Anybody else have a question for Carol? Go ahead, please.
Carol, is there anything else besides the MC and the hawthorn that you would recommend for people who have high blood pressure?
Okay. First of all, they have to follow the right kind of diet. They have to get off these bad fats. They have to get off these bad sugars. Okay? And then, once they're doing that, I would have them use a superfood, and I would have them work with the kidneys. There could possibly be a stress connection there, because when we are under stress, our blood pressure goes up. If they are under chronic stress, then they could have chronically high blood pressure. So that would be an area to investigate. And then I would work with the kidneys, because when the adrenals are stressed, they pump out lots of aldosterone, which tells the kidneys to hang on to fluid. And if the kidneys are hanging on to fluid, of course you have more blood, and you're going to have high blood pressure. And so I would work with the kidneys. I would use either formula combination K or formula KC, lots of it. So that's the bare bones of the program. Without knowing the whole story, those are basic things that I would definitely zero in on. You know,
okay,
of course, there could be blockages in the arteries as well. I don't know enough about the case to know. I'm sure that MC never hurt anybody. I started using MC when I was about a bit over 40, and I've been using it my whole life. I don't want to wait until my arteries are shot to try to look after them. And just by living in our society, we are subject to massive amounts of free radical bombardment each and every day. So I would use MC as one of my basic superfoods. It is just so, so good.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. And for those that don't know, in Taffy, we learn how to do the one-day kidney flush, which is so easy. And so I'm just going to add to that. Here's how you do this. 1 glass of water with a good squirt of organic lemon juice. Take 2 capsules of K and take 1 or 2 capsules of hydrangea. Then 1.5 hours later or 2 hours later, a glass of water with a tablespoon of chlorophyll. Take 2 capsules of K and 1 or 2 capsules of hydrangea. Repeat and alternate all day long. This is not a fast, so you can eat. You just simply are taking the water with the lemon, the capsules of K and hydrangea, and then the water with chlorophyll, the 2K and hydrangea. And the reason I say sometimes you need 2 hydrangea, especially if you have symptoms of joint pain, arthritic symptoms, then I would do 2 hydrangea. This is very, very effective in cleansing the helping the kidneys and cleansing the kidneys. Fabulous. We get fabulous results with this.
What is hydrangea and what's cap K?
Okay, K is a formula, a herbal formula that Nature Sunshine sells specifically for the kidneys. Now, on the is this Joanne?
Yes.
Joanne, on the state side, I think it's called Kidney Activator.
Activator, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and hydrangea is an herb in a capsule.
Okay.
There's hydrangea and then kidney activator if you're on the state side. In Canada, it's just called K, which stands for kidney herbal formula. Okay, any other questions? Okay, so I want to end off this evening then by saying my gratitude to you, Carol. Once again, you are an awesome teacher, and I learned so much. And every time you do your talks, I love it. I am so empowered by your knowledge. So thank you for taking the time out of your life this evening to share this with all of us. Really appreciate it. Learned a lot. I also want to say that next Monday we have a call again. And I'm possibly working on a guest speaker. It's not come to fruition as yet. And I will definitely put the email out and make the announcement for next Monday's teleconference call. And we will definitely be discussing cancer. Thank you, everybody, for being on the call with me this evening. Thank you to you, Carol. Have a wonderful evening. Lots of blessings to you and your family. And goodbye, everybody.
Bye, Donna.
Bye. Thank you, Donna. Bye. Thank you.